Today is December 11th, 2018, and this is our second call in our Practical Applications Getting Results with Your Words series. So enjoyed being with you last week. I promised last week that we would begin in silence, that we will begin in Shavasana, and that I would explain why we do that further into the call. So we'll begin. We'll begin in silence. Let me just say this one piece, that the words don't come from busyness, words, crazy, thinking about things. When they are rooted words, when they are not words that are designed to manipulate, when they are words that are not coming from the head, when they are words that are deeply rooted, when they are words that people can hear, they come from a much deeper place. They come from the stillness. They come from the silence. So we're going to lean in with my background as an Iyengar yoga teacher. It's a very deep practice. It takes 6 years to get to the first level of certification as an Iyengar yoga teacher, and I'm at the third level. So it's many years of practice and intensive study to be able to hold space for people to really come into their bodies, to come into presence, to come into a place of freedom. So here's how we'll begin. And for this part, camera on, camera off doesn't matter to me. You can find yourself a place where you can lie down just for a few minutes. If you're not in that place, like a seated meditation would be fine. So if you are in a space where you can lie down, we'll begin in Shavasana. I've begun my day in Shavasana, including today. Every day since 2006, with a handful of exceptions. One of those exceptions was when I had to bring my daughter. We were traveling and I had to bring her to emergency at 5 a.m. I missed that practice many years ago. I can still remember the few days that I've missed. It's completely changed my life. It's completely changed how I can connect with people, how I've grown my company, how I relate to the world around me. So finding a quiet space. If you're seated, you can softly close the eyes and take your glasses off. I suggest you take your glasses off if it's comfortable to you to close your eyes, glasses off. I'm going to take my glasses off as well and close my eyes. And when we do this, it allows us to go inward. Glasses bring us out into the world. Our eyes bring us out into the world. So softly close the eyes. If you're lying down, you lie down on your back. Make sure there's space around you so you're not bumping into books or walls or desks or other things. Give yourself space. The practice is a metaphor as well. Are you giving yourself space in your life, in your business, in your world? Lying on your back, bend the knees for a moment and then tuck the tailbone. By that I mean you can take the flesh of the buttocks with the hands, move it them down, move the buttocks down, flesh of the buttocks down to the heels so that the low back is not overarched. It's releasing down to the floor. Then extend one leg out and then the other. Release the legs to the floor. Legs are straight. Baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. And then for a moment, bend your elbows and dig the elbows into the floor. Lift and open the heart center. And then release the arms to the floor. Arms are in a low V, palms up position. So the arms are straight, making a V with the body, about 30 degrees away from the body. And then if you haven't already, softly close the eyes. And just be. Let the legs release to the earth. Torso, arms, shoulders, chest, all releasing to the earth. Neck, head. Just let go. If you're lying on the ground and your chin is high in the air, lengthen through the back of the neck. You can even use the hands to do so, so that the chin is at least level with or lower than the forehead. And if that's not possible, you can grab yourself a folded blanket, or a pillow. Support the head and neck fully, but not the shoulders. So the support beneath the head touches the shoulders, but does not go beneath. It allows your mind to become quiet with more readiness and ease. Soften in the center of the palms of the hands and feel the softness traveling up to the arms and releasing the shoulders, softening the neck and throat and jaw. Let the forehead be smooth. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Watch the breath. Be the breath. All else dropping away, except this moment of this breath, right here and now. Watch the breath. Notice where the tongue is. Is it glued to the roof of the mouth? Means you're leaking energy all day long. Relax the tongue. Let it rest in the bottom of the mouth. And relax the tongue all the way to its root in the throat. Let there be a tiny hint of a smile at the corner, just at the edges of the mouth, and just notice if that changes anything in the breath, body, mind, spirit. Watch the breath. If any thoughts arise, as thoughts will, nature of thought, as soon as you notice that thought, gently without judgment, let it go as unimportant right now. Let it fade away due to lack of attention. Shavasana trains focused attention, which we need for powerful words. Bring your focus back to the breath. Be curious about the breath with the curiosity of a child. What is it like today? Right here and now, is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Is it deep or ragged? Deep or shallow? Ragged or smooth? What's the breath like right now? Just notice. Can you notice without needing to change it? Just observe. And knowing that in a moment we'll be coming out of Shavasana. It begins just with the thought that soon you will move. Can you separate out thought and action so that there's no need to react to a thought? Just a thought, soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. bend the knees. Slowly roll to the right side. Support your head with your arm. And wait without a quality of waiting, just be. Softly open the eyes. And keeping the gaze toward the floor, use the hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting. And return to our circle. And then whenever you can, camera on. It's really helpful to train that quality of presence. If you're here in any way that you're able to be here, camera on, camera off, listening to the recording, reading the transcript, it's all good. And if you can be here present in our circle now, with camera on, that is fantastic. Thank you. Each piece that we were learning in this Shavasana is crucial to finding words that people can hear. Can I separate out thought and action? I'm in a sales call and somebody says something I don't like and I jump on it. Can I find that place of the pause? I mentioned that last week I was on stage, 500 people, and the person interviewing me says, Michelle, when this happened to you, what was that like? And it wasn't about me. Can I find that pause and quickly regather when I'm on stage so that what I say comes from a deeper place? I'm networking and I rush in and I start saying things. Or do I pause even? If you watch me when I'm networking, I pause usually at the door. I'm like, which place do I want to sit down at? What feels right? Not who do I want to cozy up to? Where's the most important people in the room? Where can I make it? I just breathe. And then the place comes to me and I sit, and all that changes everything. So I promised that I would say at least a few words about, I'm just adjusting something on my screen here. I would say a few words about the why for this. So there's just a few. If I spent more time telling you about the why, we would spend the whole call on it or a whole week. So let me just say those words to let you know the why. And I also told you that I did arrive a few minutes late. I'm so sorry. There's a why for that too. Will I tell you that now? Yes. I've been away for nearly a week meeting some extraordinary entrepreneurs. It was an invite only event. All six, multiple six, seven figure entrepreneurs, all doing the best they can to transform the face of this planet. These are change makers and heart-centered folks. I was sitting beside the founder of the Shift Network, some eight-figure company, and he was there speaking on stage, just chatting with him beside me, and again, such heart-centered work. People who've been my teachers before, staying up with them late into the night to chat, are now my friends, and have built many beautiful things. I've been away. And while I was away Saturday night, my daughter, who had her most intensive final exam yesterday, slipped down the stairs and ended up at emergency. She's fine, but she's very bruised. She has von Willebrand's. It's a bleeding disorder. So when internal bleeding is a really hard thing for her. So, and she could have got her exam deferred, hands down. But she's like, Mom, I'm going to write it anyway. And she wrote the exam. The hardest exam. It's the hoop jumping course, kneeling. I got home late last night. There were a few extra things that I had to attend to more than usual. One of the results is I'm a few minutes late here, so hope you'll forgive me. And I want you to notice, I want to tell you why. And when you tell people why, doesn't that make you, like, it really is what happened. I'm not making any of it up, right? But there's many things I want to teach you about that too. When I got home, I didn't rush and tell my daughter all about the things that had happened. She didn't care. And this is going to have to do with networking. This is our major focus for today. We usually rush in and they're like, blah, I didn't tell her anything about a very life-transforming trip, telling you guys, right? She knows nothing about what happened. She doesn't even know those pieces I told you yet, right? Hey, how are you? You know, can you show me the bruise, right? What painkillers are you on? Where are they? Does your dad know I'm here now? Because he just dropped you off. I get it. So many things, right? So her first, networking, right? Same thing, her first, that person in front of us first. What do they want? What do they need? So we'll go in deeper than that in a few moments, but so many things I want to talk to you about my daughter. And why it matters for networking. I was talking about my daughter last time, talking about her in a different capacity here. So I want to begin with what you noticed in this practice of Shavasana. You might have been practicing for decades. This might have been your first practice of Shavasana. You might do that in the way that you do with, as you teach people, Feldenkrais and many other modalities, as you do, Judy, or it may be in, when you work with people with words, Maria, or when you work with horses, as many of you do, that you find your own method of finding quiet. But each time we do something, it should be fresh and new. Each time we find the words, it's fresh and new. It's not some canned speech, right? We know the basic essentials of the form, but then every time it's new. So what did you find that you noticed? What was your aha in this Shavasana? Anything is welcome. All words welcome here. I want to hear from one or two of you so I know what you're experiencing in this practice. What was opening for you this time? Karen, thank you.
I have been a yoga practitioner myself for about 15 years. I don't go, I only go twice a week, and it should be something I do every day. I have never done Shavasana down and sitting meditation. I've always done it laying down. So it was very different. It was challenging for me to stay present sitting up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I had never thought about what you said. These are readers, although I'm beginning to find that I need them more and more for other things to reading type in front of me. But I had never thought about the fact that glasses open us up to the world. That I had never thought in those words, and I love those words. Thank you for that.
You're so very welcome, and thank you for listening to the nuances of what we were doing and paying attention to the nuance of what was happening in you. And so I'm an Iyengar yoga teacher, and when we do breath work, which we need Shavasana first, like final relaxation pose to build on breathwork. I'm not going to go into lots of detail about that, but Mr. Iyengar slowed it down. Most people do breathwork seated, but in our tradition, we do it lying down for the first few years. And then we learn how to do seated practice. And there's a reason for that, that we're not trained, needing to pay attention to all the details of where the body is. There's many more skills needed to sit up, right? Sounds funny, but it's true. So he slowed it down. He paid attention and he said, let's start lying down so we can really, really learn to quiet the mind, to feel the breath and all of these things. So thank you, Karen. Beautiful. All of these things. In the Iyengar tradition, nobody's there translating it over to story, translating it over to words, but that's the work that I do. And, every piece of it, as far as I can see, is required to really have words that are not just more than skin deep. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, beautiful. That quality of attention and paying attention to the details. Yes, thank you. Let's hear one more. And one of the things that I would have done if my daughter had not slipped down the stairs, I need to work at names. So if I mess up your name, please forgive me. I would have been going through the list of names and making sure I got it. Some things fall off. It doesn't mean I don't care about you. It just means that that's not my area of best. It's not my best skill. It's one that I work at. But notice too that when you're networking, for instance, or when you can, even if you don't have skills in some areas, it doesn't matter. When it comes from a deep place, people will hear it. They'll know. So was that Judy? Did you have your hand up?
Yeah. I just got home last night after being gone a month. And this the word that would surmise my experience with you just now was just like, you know, finding home and just home in my body, home back with having your voice and, you know, this connection be the first thing I'm doing after a month, you know, and the pleasure of having it in my home, you know, which is, it's a treat. So it's good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. Coming home. I love that metaphor you've chosen. And isn't that one way to talk about what we're doing when somebody's entering in our work, right? If we need to be making offers to people. Otherwise, we don't have a business. We have a hobby. We're not making offers to people to enter into our work. We have a hobby and not a business. And that's okay. Or maybe we have a nonprofit, but we're still making offers then, right? To donors zone, right? For doing our work, we're making offers for people to step in. And when we're making offers to people to step in, that's one way that to talk about it. So thank you for that, Judy. We're allowing them to come home to themselves in the area that we do. Isn't that true? So you're finding a practice. How can I ask somebody to come home to themselves, to take away the scattered parts of them and find alignment and move forward in the area that you serve, right? In the area that we serve, without coming home to myself first. So those of you in the year long, you know that I ask you to begin every day in Shavasana. And those who've just joined us last week for the first time, that is my suggestion to you every day. Can you take a couple of minutes, begin every day in Shavasana and watch your world change? Who's willing to take that on between now and our next call? Just 5 minutes at the beginning of your day, 2 minutes it could be. Who's willing to take it on? If I can raise your hand if you're willing. And thank you. Raise your hand if you're not willing. I honor that too. That's fine. I'm just not going to do that. Anyone? No one's slow. Okay, so that was 100% of those that I can see. So you can come and tell me about how that went. And Marie, will you text me and remind me, ask people how Shavasana went? Could you do that for me, right? So that I remember to do that. Thank you. Let's hear just one more. I think there's one more out there because I'm not going to return to the depth of this. We'll do it again next time, but I won't take as much time for the framework of it. I just want you to know there's two of you raising your hands. So Sherry and then Grace. Thank you. So Sherry.
So I keep telling myself I'm going to do yoga. And as I was doing Shavasana for the second time today, and I'm laying on my mat in my office, and I reach for my pillow, it occurs to me I have moved from that space of wanting to do to doing to being in the practice.
Mm. I love that, Sherry. So I can spend the whole of Shavasana going, wow, I got to do this. Oh, next time. Or I can actually be present there. And so you've dropped into a different level of the practice. Fantastic. Thank you. And you reminded me of something I wanted to say, but then forgot. Ideas come. And that will, and tons of words will flow when this is my experience and the experience of so many that I've taught. Many, many words and ideas and practices will come in that space. In my own practice of, I practice yoga at the beginning of the day in Shavasana. Sometimes if I only have time for 2 minutes at the beginning, I start only with Shavasana with some breath work. And this morning I downloaded, it's a course that I'm going to be teaching in the summer. And the whole structure of the course and how it fits in with the other things that I do came in a moment. And I, after my practice, I wasn't trying to make it come. I ran over and wrote the whole outline of the course, something that I'd been wanting for I wanted the form of it for many days. And I wanted to know what the course was for probably at least a year. And it came to me in 5 minutes. And not even 5 minutes. It came to me like this. It took 5 minutes to write it down. And it's over there in that binder, ready to go. So thank you. Really, really beautiful. Yes. Don't try to do something when you're there. Can we practice just being, and the fruits of that are immense. Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Beautiful. Grace.
So I have done this sporadically in the past, but what you did that really benefited me was very accurate positioning. The just simply being able to, you know, as you said, you know, the pushing the derriere down to the feet, like just getting to that right spot. The head, it was the first time I actually felt relaxed and comfortable because of the very specific positioning you provided. I was challenged to stay with the breathing and the meditation. My mind would dart off and then I would come back again. And so I find it challenging. And so this is a practice I know for me, I want to do to stay present. And yet the benefit is, while I sat back down very quickly, I realized that why am I doing what I'm doing with my business? And the questionnaire we needed to fill out was money. One of the things I want to do is, like, I thought, well, what do I really want to use this money for? I want to be able to, and this is what came to me, is I want to be able to travel, you know, with my husband and friends. I want to be able to work and help people and yet balance that with, you know, spending more time with family and friends. So that came to me.
The things that come just like this. Oh, that's what I'm, and that was at the level of, that's how I want to structure my life and my company. That's what I'm on the planet for. That's what matters, all like this. not to mention the words that come in. Well, right now you have to take that almost on trust. I'm not really explaining or teaching too much about that, but if all that comes, where can the words come to from that place? Absolutely. Thank you. And I love what you said, Grace, with that accurate positioning. It's the first time I've been able to be that released, that relaxed. And again, if I'm on stage and somebody starts heckling me, you know, or I'm on stage and maybe everybody is, even maybe all of a sudden they're in standing ovation, could be at both ends, right? And now what do I do? Because maybe there's more things that I need to say, and how should I react? And not react, but what action should I take? That presence is crucial. I don't know how to run a business or find the words or connect with others or make an offer or speak from stage without it. And the first time, and that is, thank you, that's fruit of Iyengar training. We are very particular about the positioning, and thank you for underlining why. That's the very first time, and how many years have you had a practice that has something of that quietness, Grace? How many years have you done something like that when you're saying now it's the very first time? Oh, you're still muted, Grace.
10 to 12 years is when I first was exposed to doing breathing and yoga.
In 10 to 12 years of practice, the first time. Fantastic. And shifts can happen right away. All right. Beautiful. Thank you. Anything bursting to be said? And notice that pauses are very important in words too. And often we just run on, we don't give anybody a chance to say anything. We just, like, because we're so excited about getting there, and we got to make sure that we get that whole talk out, because if we don't tell them everything, then maybe we'll miss something that's really important. And there's no space. There's no breath. And it comes into how we teach, comes into how we network. It comes into every place where we use words, which is everywhere on our websites, in our copy. So I'm in our teaching, I want to create a breath here, a space. Anything else bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Okay. All right. I did check for questions. I did not find any that you emailed to me. I looked and didn't find any. And because of what happened with my daughter, again, it's triage, what matters the most. I needed to be there the moment that I, from the moment that I got home till late at night, till this morning too. And so I did not, I haven't even had a chance to go over to our forum. Did you all get the, your key to get into the forum? Have you, you've got into the forum before I have even probably. Did anybody get, who got over there? Did you get the keys to get into the forum? Anyone? Was that in your inbox? Yes, you did. Okay, so some of you have been in there. Fantastic. So you've taken a look before I have. I can't even tell you what's in there, but I'll go and look before next time. And I know that Amy is setting up for you a place where you can ask questions there, but I'm not sure we've got it up yet. Did you see a space where you could ask questions? Sherry or Marie, I saw your hands up.
I went in more to find the three secrets,
mm-hmm.
transcript, and I found it.
Good. So I can tell you all they're there because Sherry knows. Thank you. So you know those resources are there. So what I'm going to do again this time, and I meet with my team this afternoon, there's a good chance there'll be a ask a question here in the forum. So once the link is there, go ahead and ask it. If Amy's put it up, you can ask the question from within our forum, from our Story Freedom Academy. So excited to get that new space. If it's not there yet, go ahead and capital letters, practical applications, question. I'll look in both those places this week.
It's there, Michelle. Amy just put it up. It's there now.
Freaking awesome. Who just said that?
Karen.
Karen, thank you. If it's up there, it's working. So Lord bless you. It takes a village, right? So so you can post your questions right from within the forum. I can't wait to see it there. I'm so excited myself. It's like I'm like a kid with a new toy. I've been wanting a forum like that for six, seven, 8 years. Like a beautiful forum where we can have the questions there and so on and so forth. So I'm super excited about that. I know Karen has beautiful forums and so on, but we haven't had that before. So I'm really excited. So yes, post your questions there for next time. I want to make sure, Marie, will you hold me accountable? Make sure that there's plenty of space for questions. Can I give that to you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So if in half an hour that nobody's asked, given a space for question, Marie, will you raise your hand and say, hey, I want to ask a question or want to leave a space for question?
Yeah.
Thank you, Marie. All right. Where to next? Yes, so post your questions in our new Story Freedom Academy. Fantastic. And I left you with some different kinds of home play. Some of you were going back to listen to the pre-call. Some of you were going back to listen to the call from last week. I asked you to observe the people around you. Like, because today's our call on networking. When you're talking to people, what's happening? Did you just, I left you with a very broad home play. I don't like to call it homework because we get all heavy and we get all in our heads. Just, you know, play like kids, right? So if it feels too heavy, you know, don't do it. Unless I tell you, you really, really need to do this one, but play with it instead. Cultivate that feeling of play. So I want to hear from some of you that some ahas, either from the previous call you were already on it, or from some going out and observing people as you're either networking or talking to the person at the grocery store. What have you just noticed? As you just put a little bit of attention and awareness there, or from the pre-call. So any ahas that you'd like to share from our work together? So I wanted to give a 1 or 2 minute space to hear that so we can gather all the threads of where we've been. Ahas from the call, ahas from our previous call, ahas from going out and meeting with people. Yes, thank you. And is it Caroline or remind me?
Caroline,
okay. And just keep correcting me if I get it wrong again.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Most people do get it wrong most of the time. So
yeah, names matter. Names really matter. Caroline.
Yeah. My big aha from, I listened to both the recordings the last couple days, and to get caught up, I haven't read the ebook yet. I still have to do that, but the biggest aha for me was that, because it's something that I've always done and thought I had to do, and even though I've been told I didn't, it finally hit home, was this piece of having to write your website and get all the little pieces together before you go out and talk to people and do stuff. And that's so what I've always, it's so me. I mean, I've always felt like I have to have all my little ducks in a row, and it felt very permission giving. Somehow about the way that you said it and explained it, because I've been told that, Karen Rolfe has told me that, don't you know? I mean, credit to Karen. She's told me you don't need to do all that, but I just couldn't not. Mm-hmm. And there was some way that you said it or something that made sense to me anyway, or you reiterated it in enough different ways that it was like, oh, I get it. So, anyway, thank you for that.
Thank you for hearing that. If there's one thing that I wanted you to hear last time, and I summarized it near the end of last week's call, is start close in. Start close in. If I can't talk to one, a single human being, and you know, they're looking away, I mean, maybe they're just really rude and they're unintent, you know, they want to know who the most important person is. And maybe they're not your ideal client, but maybe you've talked to 10 of them and they're all doing that. They're rolling their eyes and they're looking away and they're yawning. And like, what is it about my words? And can I play with them there to know how to, if I can't capture their attention there, but I think that I can do it blind when up to a whole group of people, why would I do it that way? It just doesn't make sense to me. Right. And so thank you. Like starting close and then move to further, like wider and wider circles and networking. So a bit of a review from last week's call, right? From networking and then, you know, one-on-one calls, strategy sessions and speaking and then to speaking live and then speaking virtually and then speaking when you can see people online and then when you can't see people online and then writing the copy and, right? Now, it doesn't have to all happen sequentially, but I better be doing those things. Otherwise, I can end up wasting a whole bunch of time, a whole bunch of money. Thank you for hearing it. And I love that you said that Karen told me that. And so sometimes it's like one of my yoga teachers, she's one of the most senior in Canada and I've worked with her for many years. And we then as yoga teachers, we would go away and study with a different teacher. We would go come back and go, Margot, I learned this new thing. It's extraordinary. I want to bring it back to our whole community. And she go, I've been saying it for 5 years. Fantastic. I'm glad you learned it over there. So I just want to nod to Karen. Fantastic. She's just saying it, but you heard it here. And then you can implement it and do it. And here we're talking about the words too, that can we find the words that will allow actual real action. And sometimes we need to hear it from different angles too. So not to be afraid too, if the person doesn't hear you right off or first off, right? Need different inroads in. So don't be discouraged if the person's rolling their eyes or whatever, right? When you're talking, that's actually great data. And we'll talk about that in the networking piece here in just a few moments, right? But I'm already teaching about networking here, reminding you of some of the principles of start close in, go to far away. And yes, and I did it. My first website, it's still up. You can Google me and find my first website that I did when I first left academia and I put it up in between 2007, 2008. And it was a 9-month labor of love. It cost me over $10,000. I can't even remember what it cost me by the time I hired the people and did the photography and, you know, 9 months of intensive labor. And do you want to know how many clients I got from that website? I think it's zero. I mean, I think it's there. Maybe one or two. It did help me. I'm really proud of the website. It's really beautiful. And I kept it up because I can't bear to take it down yet. So it's not even good for my company. I just couldn't bear to take it down. Like such a labor of love. Right? And it did. It was helpful because it was like an online brochure. So there were some things that I was saying to people and they could learn things more quickly from my website. So I didn't have to repeat myself so much. So it did have a function. What I had known. I wish that somebody had told me in a way that I could have heard. And one of my dear friends who's built different companies over the years, and in her in one of the companies she built, after she built others, and she did the same thing, like built all these things. And then the next time around, she didn't do any of that. She like built an opt-in page, and that was it. You know, just one opt-in page. It's like, here's a free gift. Build the opt-in page. And didn't build the website until far later because she knew so much more about building companies. So thank you for hearing that. And it doesn't mean that it's wrong. I started that way too. There's more than one way to go in. Thank you, Caroline. Beautiful. Yes. And it helps us remember where we were too. Like, what are some of the pieces? All right. Let's hear one more aha from anatomy. Thank you, Karen, from wherever you found it in all the pieces that we've done so far.
Well, I'm one of the people, the Karen Roth group that knows me, I'm one of the people that goes into a party and goes up to everybody and goes, how are you? How's everything going? I'm the one who just tries to make everybody feel comfortable. Now, when I go to the grocery store, I speak to everybody. You know, I'm one of these that, you know, you smile and it helps somebody's day surely at some point. So when I went to the grocery store last week, I thought, okay, I'm going to take three people and I'm going to observe when I speak to them, can they keep eye contact with me even, mm-hmm. right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we go through our day and we say, how are you? But we don't we don't really want to know. That's just that common courtesy kind of thing. So I thought I'm going to take this one step further and see if I can engage these people in some type of conversation where they might actually be listening to what I'm saying. So the first woman it was hard for her. I could tell I made her uncomfortable. My extroversion made her uncomfortable. So by the time I got to number two, I thought, okay, take the extroversion down just a little. Don't be too excited to want to speak to this person. And she was a little bit better, but by the third person, I was like, okay, I've got this. Simple questions, holding eye contact. Can you give me an answer that is true? Not just a, oh, I'm fine as I'm walking away. By the third person, she wasn't uncomfortable. I wasn't uncomfortable. I was like, this is a great experiment. And I can't wait to now try it with some of my students, my existing writing students. So it was fascinating to me because it wasn't nearly as much about there. It was what I was offering to them. So that's what I did.
Karen, beautiful. You all have just learned so much about networking. Today our call is about networking. This is phenomenal. This is fantastic. Love that you, thank you for taking up that home play. And for those of you, let me ask you, and just so I know what's going on, and there is no shame, no editor, right? The editor that goes, oh man, I should have done that. All that voice inside that tells us all that yucky stuff does not serve us. That's also why we want Shavasan. It quiets that voice that's there going like, oh man, I should have said, did I say that right? Maybe, and by that time, the conversation's somewhere else, all right? So no editor here. I just like want to, actually genuinely wanting to know. It doesn't matter. So how many of you actually went out and did that experiment and actually watched what was happening in and around people? I know Karen did, all right? How many did not? Hands up, be proud. I did not do that. Thank you for your honesty. So great. Right? How many are going to go and do that and do that home play this week, having heard what happened with Karen and the leaps ahead that she's going to be in her networking having done that? How many of you are going to experiment with that? Go and watch, right? And how many of you are going to be on, like, how many of you are not going to do that this week and be proud? Raise your hand. Thank you, Caroline, right? How many of you would not raise your hand no matter what I asked, right? Just checking. Great. So Marie, will you remind me of that too? Ask how that home play went. And now I don't want that to be like, what if she asked me? And notice, I want you to notice that inner mind, right? That the inner words that we're saying are just as important for the words that we're speaking. Our inner story is not aligned with our outer story. Nobody can hear us. So if you're going, oh, wow, when I come back, I better have a good story, because if I don't, just watch that. She might ask me. That's the same thing that we're doing when we're networking then. And that's when we need to take a breath and tap into what we've done in Shavasana. And it's like, it doesn't matter. We're here to learn together. And you can learn from observing what happened with Karen too. And there's multiple inroads in. You don't have to do that. There's other ways that we can get there. And can you feel, whose body just relaxed when I said that? Can you feel that? Yeah, a lot of you. Yeah, good. A number of you anyway. Good. Yeah. All right. What did you hear about networking already? Because when we hear it in this organic way, when you hear it from Karen instead of hearing it from me, it's going to land more, right? So, and then I'm going to have some structures, like some networking personalities we could emulate and some that we want to avoid. I'm going to teach you that today and how they connect with that. Goodness, did I put the right notes in front of me to do that? Give me 1 second. I didn't put it in front of me, so I'm going to write it down here. Word scale. I usually have it in front of me. And genre. Okay. So those networking personalities, and if I don't do this, ask me about it. How that relates to, do you remember which I can't even remember what I called it because it's very newly christened, right? But those practical applications of words, the four things you need to know I want to return to this and then we're going to talk about what we learned from Karen and networking. All right. So there are four things that we learned from my daughter getting, when I said, Dana, will you come here? Do you remember that story from last time? Dana, will you come here? And we learned four things that have to happen if people are going to hear us, or four aspects, like four reasons that she got up. What were they?
You called them the principles of persuasion.
Thank you. I didn't even know what I called them. You don't have to have all the words right. It still works, right? I just christened that, I think, recently. So the principles of persuasion, what are they? Do you remember? Who could tell me? Yeah, Marie, thanks.
Relationship is one, and empathy is another, and word skills and understanding the genre.
Yes, exactly. Beautiful. What does that actually mean? Let's get that from somebody else. So thank you, Marie. I know you know. Is there somebody else who can put it in your own words? No, Marie, you raise your hand. Let's keep you there. Marie, what do those actually mean? And can you give it in the example of why did Dana get up when I said, hey, Dana, when you'll come here? She didn't want to go there, come here, but she did anyway.
Well, we talked about it on the call where you have an existing relationship with her. There's trust that's there. And you, there's a way that you ask the question or whatever, where she would respond. Like, I'm sure tone of voice is part of the word skill, right? Like, it's not just the actual word, it's the way that the question is being, or the request is being stated.
Right, and I want to go through those two to separate a relationship and empathy. So it's both the relationship that we have, and either we have a pre-existing relationship or I've got to build one quickly, right? And then empathy, it's not just a like the 8,000 foot view of a long-standing relationship, the empathy, like I know where she is right now. Like when I walked in yesterday and she had fallen down the stairs and been in an emergency, where is she now? Like, that wasn't the story from last week, you know, but where is she right now? And she was tired that day from the story last week, right? Didn't want to get up. So I need to know where she is. And then I find, you know, I have a skill with words. Usually people think it's only about that word skill piece, but you need to have all the pieces, right? And then, so thank you, Marie. And then the last piece about genre, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, for me, what it means is, like framing it in the context of where I am and who I'm with. So, I mean, if I'm at a party, my genre is going to be different than if I'm at a funeral.
Yeah. So genre, it from the language of words and literature, genre is like there's tragedy and there's comedy and there's drama and there's novel and there's like different kinds of writings, different kinds of situations. It's not the context, you could say, think of it like that, right? So what's the genre? What kind of speaking space am I in? Am I giving a 2-minute talk? Am I doing a 2-hour training? Am I networking? And these, it's so obvious, but people actually usually very often miss this one. They think they're giving a speech when they're actually networking. Do you understand what I'm saying? So people often confuse these, and they've built skill with words, or they've hired a copywriter at $10,000 a page, but then they start using that copy when they haven't thought about the context in which they're in, the kind of situation. The situation was with my daughter was the context, and it builds empathy too, right? The context was she was tired. I wanted her to come to the other room, and it needed to be quick. Or, you know, it's not. I'm not going to give her a two-hour speech. It would not work, right? What's the kind of speaking situation I'm in? So thank you, Marie. So I wanted to review those because these networking personalities, I don't want you to play a role. I don't want you to go in, okay, right now I'm being, but we could play with them a little bit when we start. And we can, if we can learn to recognize them, then we can have a lot more fun networking, and we can build the foundation for all of the other speaking situations, all the other genres, right? And what you'll notice is in the networking personalities to emulate the kind of work versus the ones that don't are missing one or all of these pieces. They're missing relationship, they're missing empathy, they're missing word skill, they're missing the genre that they're in, right? And the ones that work, they're gonna land all of these four things, right? And that's pretty theoretical right now, but it's going to be super easy when we get to it. You'll see it. All right. I want to go back to what Kieran, let me see. Kieran's play with three people that she was just talking about a moment ago. And actually, no, before I do that, I want a breath, I want a space. These four principles of persuasion and the networking personalities, have I lost anybody? I know I haven't described what they are yet, but is anybody feeling really confused? Because if you are, you won't be able to hear the next piece. I just want to put in a breath if anybody has an immediate question or clarification. Just want us to make sure we're all on the same page. We're good with that? That brief review and anticipation of what's coming next? Okay, good. So Kieran was talking about these three people and this experiment. What did you, you know, she's talking to this one person, doesn't quite work. So then she tones down the extroversion. Then she's asking questions and it has to do with her, you know, what she's offering to. And what did you learn already right away around networking? The next time you walk in, if you really heard it, walk into some kind of networking situation, some kind of one-on-one thing, where you're talking to one person, or actually when you're walking into a crowd, you're speaking to somebody one-on-one, or you're walking into a new organization or whatever it is, what have you learned from Karen's words already? It's such, sometimes it's right here that we don't see it. Okay. Yeah, Marie, go ahead. And, oh, wait, did...
I think Grace had something to say too.
Grace, I missed, okay, so... Where are you? Oh, you're up there on my screen, Grace. You sometimes when somebody else comes in, you move on my screen, and I'm always looking in your eyes. I know in the recording it won't look like it. It would look like it here, but then I'm looking at the camera. I will do that when I'm teaching larger audiences, and you know. But when we're here in house, I want to look at you so I can see you, see all of you, see how you're reacting to the words, see if you're falling asleep, seeing if you're paying attention, see, right? And I want to see what you're saying because I can hear more of it when I'm looking at you. So right now you're right there. Thank you, Grace and Emery. Go.
Okay, so I think what I heard Karen do first and foremost was realize, one, she's serving and making it about another person. How can I make them comfortable to engage better?
Yes, make sure that I talk to you about Thomas Tadlock. Marie, are you okay if I'm placing things in your court today? If you don't hear the words, can I place one more thing in your court and then I'll start placing in somebody else's court?
Well, place away.
Thank you. Make sure the words Thomas Tadlock come out of my mouth like in the next 20 minutes or so, right? Give me a little list. Thank you, Marie. All right. So because it connects with Grace's point here, and I want to elaborate a little further. So she's making them comfortable. She's paying attention to them. Great. Was that the whole, did you want to add anything else to that? Or was that that was the one thing, and it's huge. Do I want to tell the Thomas Tadlock thing right now and then take it off Marie's plate? All right, let me do that. Marie's going, yes, you already put lots of things in my court. And see, that's what we do. I'm watching her eyes big. She's going like, yeah, Michelle, you've already given me enough. So I'm not going to give her some more. We're actually paying attention to people, right? So let me tell my story about Thomas Tadlock. So I did many courses. Some of you know at Peak Potentials. I did 3 years of the courses. And I'm watching, see, Marla just yawned. She's just taking in more energy sometimes, right? But I'm watching, like, if everybody were yawning, like, maybe I've got to tell, it's time to tell a funny story. Time to get you interacting with each other. I'm always watching. Right? And then I don't want you all going like, oh, I better sit like this. Michelle's watching if I'm yelling. It's not like that. Right? It's all good. Just be yourselves. Right? So Thomas Tadlock, I took a lot of courses at Peak Potentials and 3 years, 25 courses. When I do something, I like to dive in deep. And Thomas Tadlock is now one of their trainers, or he was a couple of years ago when I was last there. And he started out, he was an assistant trainer when I was there. And every time, it felt like every time I was talking to one of my friends in what was called the Quantum Leaps program, like people who were on the three-year path who were doing a deep dive with Peak Potentials, they would go, oh, I just had something wonderful happen. I like my computer broke down and I got a call from Thomas, and his cousin's friend knows the guy who fixes computers in my city, and I got my computer fixed. Thomas is he was at the time anyway, like a sports trainer, right? Then I talk to the next person, and it's like, oh yeah, I needed a plumber. And, you know, and I live in LA, and he was just passing through, and he's got a friend, he's got this plumbing company. And every person after person after person, and I started listening to the Thomas Tadlock stories. And I have one of my own. And it has affected this the work that I do in places like this. I was and work with my one-on-one clients. And Marie, we've worked together for many years. So Marie, you were there when I was not recording private sessions. Why did I start recording private sessions years ago? I was afraid. I had an editor, but it's like, well, but what if, you know, they'll start changing what they said? Like, I can't even remember that person that I was before, right? What if they start changing what they say? What if they're going to feel uncomfortable? And I was sitting beside Thomas Tadlock at one of the courses for lunch, you know? And he started talking to me about that. It was the number one problem in my business right then. I'm like, I really want to record these, but I'm afraid. I can't even remember that person. Yeah, you know? But that's how I was at the time, many years ago. And he said, why don't you just ask them? It didn't even occur to me, right? Why don't you just ask them? Some of your best work is going to be happening in those private sessions. Why don't you just ask if they're okay with that? So I asked the first student who was ever in my year-long program. I said, you know, are you okay? And I was like shaking in my boots. Are you okay? Did we record the session? She was like, I was wondering when we were finally going to get around to that. So there's my Thomas Tadlock story. Everyone had one like that. He's the one who told me. And for years now, I've always recorded. I have hundreds of hours of recording, thousands probably, right? That I would not have had without Thomas Tadlock. Make them comfortable. That's how Grace put it. The way I would say is be of service. What's that person need? And there's where, that's why I was talking about my daughter at the beginning of the call, because I knew it would hook up later. I didn't cross all the T's and dot all the I's. But let me return to that. When I walked in last night, and my daughter's dad had just dropped my, in case any of you are confused, yes, my man died. And it's not my daughter's dad. In case you're going, no one caused any confusion. I was like, what happened? I, you know, anyway. Yeah, my man had, and I had a number of years together, but, you know, my daughter's dad, we were together for many years as well. But he's a great, great dad. I'm very, very lucky that he's in my life. And we just weren't meant to live together. We made a beautiful daughter together. And so he had just dropped her off. He took care of her as a great dad. And when I got home, it wasn't about my trip, although I was really excited about it. It wasn't about her studying for the next exam and how that was going to happen, because it starts again next week. It wasn't about any of that. It was about, hey, how are you? Can you move? Do you have painkillers, right? Grace said, make them comfortable. I want to expand that. And we learned that from what Karen said. Like, be of service. Be of service to that person. Thomas Tadlock was helping everybody. And remember that piece about, you know, from last time about words that manipulate versus, and thanks, Marie. Yes, Thomas Tadlock. Love that man. Amazing man. It wasn't about, he wasn't trying to, you know, fill them into a funnel of plumbing school or how you record during coaching or multiple other things. And he was always honing that listening skill. Can you hear what the person actually needs, even if it's not you? That's where it gets to be not manipulative, right? I've spent hours with people that I refer to other people. Right. When I have a conversation with them where they might have the possibility to do some work with me. But if I think they need somebody else more, I've spent hours with them and sent them to someone else or sent them to someone, something in their own court, not being attached to the outcome. I hone that listening skill and I make them comfortable and I be of service to them. And if I like how, what I, one of the things I learned at Peak Potential is how you do anything is how you do everything. If I'm being of service here about the plumber, it's likely I'm going to be of service when I'm on in a conversation that could lead to a sale or when I'm on stage, I'll probably be of service. When I'm speaking to, I know you are all in service, but when we think about it and how we be, it's like we get into networking, we think that there's something else other than that and we start becoming all funny. Right? But it's very down-home things that I learned from my family too, right? How do you just be with people and be of service? And so Grace here and Karen, make them feel comfortable. Cool. Marie. What's something you learned from what Karen said about networking?
Oh, right.
that was a long time ago. I know. Do you still remember?
Well, what I loved was Karen's course correcting as she went along. That, and for me, like I always, in networking situations, I get really anxious, like having to get it right from the very beginning. So if I have a more gentle approach where I observe and notice and adjust, that's really different than having to stay in this kind of freak out mode that I'm often in when I go into networking. So I like the correcting idea.
Thank you for that. You don't have to get it perfect right off. Our striving for any recovering perfectionists in here? Like, that's me. you know, right? We don't have to get it perfect. And then we can actually watch and see what's happening with that audience. And wanting to get it perfect is that, like, blah, let me just, like, get it all right. And if I, you know, bet I've got it all memorized and so on. And, you know, I trip over my words all the time. I was going, like, what were those words? Oh, principles of persuasion. I'm getting help from you guys. I can't remember my own words. And I work with words, you know, words and stories, like, over 25 years of work in this field. If I could trip over my words, it's okay for you to, too. You know what I'm saying? Who are people going to be expecting perfection from, right? I don't care. It doesn't matter because it's not real communication. It's not real connection. It's okay to make a mistake. And so thank you. Course correcting and experimenting too, right? Years and years ago, around that same time that I put up the website, and then I've got this background in yoga and I've got this background in words, right? So, and the way that my work first came to me that I wanted to do in 2001, it downloaded. I was still deep in academia, but it downloaded, like, I want to teach yoga and writing in the mountains. That's how it came to me. And a friend of mine said, okay, what are you doing today to make that happen? Okay. Right. But I used to say to people in networking situations very early on, I'm talking, you know, decades, right? From 2001 on, they'd say, what do you do? I'm like, I teach yoga and writing. They couldn't hear any of that. But it doesn't matter. Even though I'd worked with words, I got it wrong too. It's not wrong. It was too much information. And I told you last time, someone I know who is really built a huge relationship company and charged like $100,000 for a half a year kind of thing, right? Easily commanded those kinds of figures. And the answer when, you know, what do you do? He said, I teach about love. Didn't have to get it all right. Didn't have to be a big speech. I'm like, I probably didn't say that all the time, but I remember being in a circle and listening to him. I'm like, yeah, well done. Oh, what do you mean by that? Do you teach kids or do you, people are curious now? So allowing space to course correct. Fantastic. Anything else that you learned from Karen? That was great. And I really encourage you to go out and do that too. Start observing and you'll notice what's happening and you'll learn so much more about networking. And yes, Marie, I'm aware, I need to go to questions really soon. So I want to do a little training, then we'll go to questions. I haven't forgotten. So yeah, Sherry, what did you learn?
Well, I think the whole comment about course correction and as it ties in with the principles of persuasion. You know, I found myself in a situation last night where I was at the laundromat and which I don't do often, and I had gone to get a drink and I kind of figured, oh, I'm in a bubble and no, I won't run into anyone I know. And I walk in to get a drink at a place, and there's someone who is the epitome of my power partner. And, you know, I've known her for a long time, different context. And it was kind of getting back into a course correction of, you know, she was being empathetic to my situation and asking what I was doing. And, you know, it used to be that, oh, well, I'll, you know, they don't really want to know. And it was like, no.
That's that inner voice, right? That's going to harm, that's going to affect everything that I say.
And so then I said, oh, the heck with it. And I gave her, you know, a quick couple of minutes, well, no, a quick few seconds of what I was doing. And she knows me in a different context. And she said, oh, that is so needed. And you would be great at that. And it was one of those moments that was networking, I would have stepped right over.
Beautiful. Thank you. I bump into somebody, it's in the wrong context. Oh my goodness, this is an important, what I'm part of, what I'm here is like an important possible JV partner. Now I better, get it right and blah, blah, blah. Like, you get all tied up in your head. Or what if it's okay to course correct? What if I don't have to say it all at once? Let her give her a chance to enter in. Now she's interested and yes, beautiful. We've already learned so much about networking and it's sometimes it's things that we learn in kindergarten, but we forgot, you know? And I remember when I used to, some of the training that I got at Peak Potential is really, really, really fabulous stuff. But sometimes some of what I was learning, I had to learn the higher level. And we learned some networking skills, and it's like, here's like 10 seconds and you've got, here's 30 seconds and you got to go hand like all these cards out to people. And I was just like, oh my goodness. And I thought it was some kind of card game of handing out cards and pushing them in people's faces. And as I was doing that, it reminded me of some of the worst of academia, some of the dark underbelly side. I'm like, I don't even want to do this. I don't even want to do this. I don't want to shove it, like, but I have to because that's what you're supposed to do. And I realized, and I don't know how to say this without making it sound bad, but I'm going to say it anyway. See, like, the words don't have to be perfect. I don't have some scripted speech here, right? It's like there are people who really excel at networking, and there are people who have been trained and they're kind of like doing it at this level. There are people who don't know anything about it at all or haven't stepped in yet. And I was learning from this tier of people who knew a little bit about it, but who hadn't really mastered it. And it's kind of like a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. So you're shoving things in cars in people's hands and they have all these elevator pitches. And I thought I needed to be that. It's like, kill me now. I don't want to do any of that. And in academia, it's like people cozying up to the most important people and all that stuff. Who here understands what I'm talking about? You've been in those places and it's like, I don't want to do that, but I'm supposed to do it for my company. Well, what if we don't have to do that? Thank you. Did you see, what did I just do there? Right? I'm seeing, like, are you hearing me? Or are you all going like, wow, she's really weird and I don't know what she's saying. I'm doing it all the time as I'm teaching. How many of your hands went up? And the others, are your arms crossed or are you smiling? Right? I'm watching all these things. And maybe your arms are crossed, you're just cold. It's okay. Right? Not to misread all the signs, not to be getting like go to my editor, right? So instead of that, Sherry, beautiful example, some great networking. And I was just in a room of some fabulous networkers. They're all people who built six-figure, multiple six-figure, seven-figure, eight-figure businesses. These are all the people learning in the room, and they're all heart-centered people. I was in a fabulous place. And a couple people gave me their cards, I think. A whole bunch of them also said, oh yeah, I don't carry a card. And we just did that simple thing that I talked about on the call before. You like just enter the information right in the phone. It's always a way to connect. And it was a real conversation with real people. And what that networking reminded me of with these power people, I don't come from that kind of family, all right? I don't know, whatever family you come from, it's all beautiful, right? But my grandfather had a grade 2 education. You know, my uncles quit school before they hit high school. On the other side of the family, there's some accountants that, you know, right? Nobody's got a PhD. Nobody, I don't come from that kind of family. But these amazing people who've built all this stuff, and then my family, and I look at them and I see how they're the same. You know, I see how they're the same. And I don't think if I've told the story before last week, I don't think I did, but forgive me if I did. But it's a really powerful story about networking. So when I thought that it was just shoving cards, questions. I got to get to that really soon. Okay. When I thought it was just shoving cards, I didn't even want to do it. But then when I started realizing, no, I don't know how to say this without it sounding elite. I don't mean that at all, but it's like top tier in skill of networking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they've learned the skill of networking. I'm not trying to rank people, but those who've learned the top tier skill, they're a lot actually like my family. They're very down to earth. They're very real. And I remember one day my basement had flooded. Have I told my basement flooded story yet? I don't think so. Not in this context. Okay. So my basement flooded and I was soon writing my comprehensive exams for my PhD. And I just got married too. And my, the wedding gifts were down in the basement. It was going to flood. And I was just feeling overwhelmed. And my parents were out of town and I'm close to my parents. I called my sister. I'm just like, oh, because I just wanted to go like, you know, short call. And a few minutes later, my Uncle Paul walks in the door. This is about networking. The story about me for networking for you. Well, my aunt, my sister, had called my aunt, who called my uncle, who called my other uncle, who is en route, and he's a handyman guy. He does like electrical work and he builds houses and, you know, and he showed up with all his equipment and he was en route to another job, but I'm sure he called him and said, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late. My niece needs something. And he's like, hey, honey, what do you need? I'm here. And he had straight down to the basement to help. That's networking. That's the same thing that Thomas Tadlock is doing. Hey, what do you need? When I understood that that's what networking was, I'm like, I'm all in. That's how I was raised. You know, you just help people. And then it becomes fun. And when I don't have to get the words right to the start, and I can watch like Karen and get feedback, you know, then I'm all into that. What do you mean? It's about meeting people and making friends with people and trying to help them. I don't have to get the words perfect. And as I use the words, I can start to hone them. We'll talk more next week. And it might be, I'm not even sure, but I've only taught this course once before, and I'm going to give you the material in the order that's best. I can't even give you all the order beforehand. I hope you'll forgive me for that. All right. So it might be a little bit next week. I might intersperse it over a couple of weeks. I still need to know what it is I'm offering, right? Like, what am I offering? And what's my offer, and what's my product or my service? So we'll talk a bit about that. And we'll talk about, we'll talk about that. We'll make sure to get that conversation in next time. Marie, can you send me that note? just text me and go, you can text me right now and say, Michelle, talk about the offer. I'll make sure that's in there. And I might, it might be about speaking. We'll see where we'll go next. It'll depend on your questions as well, like the order of things, so you can hear them best. But it starts with the networking. And Thomas Tadlock is not any different from Karen, is not any different from my family, is not any different from those amazing entrepreneurs that I just spent several days with, right? How can I help? How can I help you? How can I serve? And it might not even, the manipulation comes in when I need to serve you. And even if it's not right for you, I'm going to punch you into that mold, right? But it doesn't even serve me, because then I've got somebody who's in my community, whatever your community looks like, or they bought your product and you can't even help them, and it gets ugly, right? So why would you even want that manipulation, even if you were just totally self-serving, right? Instead, how can I really actually help you? And so much comes out of that. I need somebody. And next time, can you imagine in that Peak Potentials room, next time Thomas Tadlock needed something, he wasn't doing it to manipulate, it's just who he was. Let's just come from place. And I know there's a room full of heart-centered people in this room. I don't teach this to the evil ones. You know what I'm saying? Right? As a technique to manipulate. It's not that. When you come from who you actually are, but in the way that I'm talking about, right? There's structure as well, right? The next time Thomas Tadlock needed something, do you think that there's a whole room full of people who were wanting to help him? Do you think if he called me up now and needed something, this many years later even, right? When my man died, I learned that so profoundly. I can't tell you the love that came pouring in from across the planet that I didn't expect. I didn't know. We are who we are, and when we be that person, it's simpler than we think. The words come from a simpler place than we think. And it's the same thing that I taught at the university so much. I had to cut away all these layers of what we thought it's supposed to be, that we learn from the middle tier of skill people. We get to the higher tier, and it's actually quite natural to everyone here. If you're understanding those words that I said, and it's about connection, that it's about service, and it's maybe a lot easier. If you're thinking this may be easier and more fun than you thought, raise your hand. I want to see if these words are landing. Yeah, you're getting it. Thank you. Wow, was that everyone's hands? Anyone not? Anyone not? Okay, it's okay if you're not getting it. Like, that's brave to put up your hand, because it means that there's others too who didn't hear it. And that's okay too. And if you didn't hear it this time, some of you, I can't see your hands. Cheryl, I can't see your Aaron, I can't see your hand, right? So Galaxy S9 Plus, I can't see your hand. I don't know who you are, et cetera, right? 3239, I can't see your hand, right? So, but everyone here, I'm taking you as a representative for those I can't see, right? You got it. Great. So let me really quick, that's you, Sherry. Thank you. All right. Oh my goodness. I was thinking I had more time than I did. We only have till, I was thinking that we ended, oh goodness. All right. I'm gonna teach you really quickly. I'm going to open up for questions. I did it again, but also none of you had posted. Did anyone post a question that I missed? I didn't see any posted questions. I'm not feeling burning questions, but I did say I would leave more time for questions, and I've not done a very good job of that this time again. And I apologize for that. Please post a whole bunch of questions for next time. Will you do that? Who's going to post the first question for next time? Post a question for me, something you really want to know. Caroline, thank you. Who's going to post the second question? Because when I already see your questions beforehand, it's easier for me to structure that in. And it sometimes is my downfall. So just keep me honest, all right? Who's going to post the second question? Anything you want to know, who will post another question? You're not filled with questions. You just want, but is the content helping you? Raise your hand if it's helping you. All right, great. So you're not burning about questions because you want me to keep teaching because this is helping? Am I right? Or are you just bored and falling asleep so you don't care because now, okay, I'm hearing this is helping you. Okay, good. It's real people, right? And real communication. Okay, good. So Caroline will post the first one. I hope somebody will post the second one. I still will open it up to questions, and probably what I'll do is I'll stay a little later for questions today. If you need to leave on time, no problem. I will stay till at least 1:45 and make sure that I fulfill my promise of answering questions, all right? If you don't have questions, that's fine too. It means I'm addressing the things that you're wanting to ask. All right. The thing that I promised is those, I want to hear one quick, 30 seconds or less, aha, from what I just was teaching right now, something that is immediately implementable that you already know a lot more about networking than you knew before. One person, what did you hear that you can do right now? And it doesn't have to be like the heavens open and the angels sang is a buffo, like Hiram Smith says, a blinding flash of the obvious. What did you hear? Okay, Grace, thank you.
Be present to the other person.
Mm-hmm. You understand why we're starting with Shavasana, right? It's a practice that trains presence. If I'm not present, it doesn't matter how perfect, who wrote my pitch for me, my elevator pitch, what the words are in it. They could be words that the heavens opened up and descended. It won't matter, right? Start from presence. It's why, for those of you who are in Karen's community, if you go over to her her virtual classroom. Years ago, she had me teach a piece on Shavasana. I'm in there, right? and that's why Karen was so interested. It's one of the reasons Karen was so interested to get a different take on Shavasana from there. All right, networking personalities. I'm going to go through these real quick, and then we can go back to them next time. You're going to hear it so easy because I've already taught them. I just didn't come in that door. I came in the door through what Karen had said because you would hear it so much better when it comes from her. All right, that it's real. It's not some pitch from me. But now I'm just going to do some rapid fire training. You're going to hear this so easily. All right. And what I really want to do too, I haven't had my team. Marie, can I ask you to do one more thing? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yeah. Okay. Send me a text and say, ask the team to create ask Amy to create Debbie Downer. All right, that's all you need to say. Okay, thank you. Because I want to create a handout for you. I don't have it yet. All right. But here's personalities to avoid. They have none of those things. If remember my thing with Dana, relationship, empathy, word skill, and knowing the genre. Debbie Downer, it's no relationship, right? Oh man, life sucks. I hate everything. Everything is wrong. And I'm just like, can I tell you my story about the 10 things that have gone wrong with me in the last 10? It doesn't mean you can't share a difficult story. There's never anything that you can't say. But who has met Debbie Downer at a networking situation before and wanted to change tables? Anyone? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, thank you. Who's ever been that person? I'm sure I've been that person sometimes, right? I could skirt on that and telling you what just happened to my daughter, but I didn't make it a Debbie Downer story, right? How did that happen? You can ask me that question if you want. I'll answer that question next time if you want to. No, right? It was a Debbie Downer. Life sucks. Right? Hope you don't mind if I use a word like life sucks. But anyway, you'll get it. Miss Spewitt. Hey, can I just tell you? I already taught you that, right? Hey, can I just tell you? Blah, 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 blah. And here's my card. Blah, blah. I already taught most of these. Just when we attach them to personalities, we can remember, all right? Mr. Robot. Yes, it could be Mr. Spewitt and Ms. Robot. So forgive me if I fell into any stereotypes here, all right? Mr. Robot. Hi. My area is, right? And I've been all of these. That's why I could play with them, all right? In fact, I was just this in a video through 6 videos that I made, and I'm going to reshoot them because I did it with a teleprompter, and it was so not me, but somebody taught me to use a teleprompter, so I did it. I did that. All right, have you met that person? Because there's nobody home, Mr. Robot. Mrs. Know-It-All. Sometimes I might skirt on this, right? Sometimes I think I know things and those people don't know things. I know, I own it, right? That's not the best side of me, right? But Mrs. Know-It-All doesn't be vulnerable like I just am now. I didn't know I was going to say that, and it kind of feels like really vulnerable, right? Mrs. Know-It-All. Well, here are the 10 things that you should do. And so even if it could be somebody who's really engaged in that person and doing the Thomas Tadlock thing, I'll call it, right? Or my Uncle Paul thing. And really wanting to help, but Mrs. Know-It-All, oh, it's not even my field, but you have back pain. Let me tell you the 10 things that I know about back pain, right? Because I know, because I'm so important and I'm so smart. And do you want to be around that person? We've all been these people. And then the words that come out are going to be aligned with that personality. That's not going to work, right? I'll go through these really quickly. We can return to these next time, right? How many of you are getting this? You're understanding this. You've either been that person, you've seen that person, and you understand that the words emanate from that beingness. And when we change the beingness and go with those, what's it called? Principles of persuasion. And we're going to say different things, right? This is too vulnerable and wounded. I've been that sometimes. All right. Are you hearing it? Hi, how are you? Oh, it's hard that you've asked. I mean, I'm playing a little bit and I don't mean to harm anyone. I'm just like, the reason I'm giving you these personalities is that when I'm being it, I'm going like, oh my goodness, I'm being it. And it makes me laugh. And then it pulls me out of it. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody except me, maybe me. All right. I've been them all. This is too vulnerable and wounded. Oh no, I can't talk about that. I just, you know, right. Or miss desperate to make a sale. Yeah, that one needs no explaining, right? Listen, will you come and talk to me about this? Because, you know, it's like pulling, right? Mr. Fix-It, cousin to Miss Know-It-All, right? My dad used to be this sometimes. My mom would say, you know, whatever you think is best, dear. I know you can work it out. My dad was, here's the 10 ways to fix it, right? My dad's an amazing man, but that part of him, I'd have to go, no, Dad, I want you to say like what mom said, just like, I know I can find the answer, right? Miss Sign Me Up. Hey, well, you can, you know, I've got exactly the program for that. And why aren't you, right? You've been there. We do it. The words emanate from that. Miss, give me your business card. We talked about that already. Miss is distracted and wandering. Whenever you're talking and it's like, wow, where's the more important person in the room? Have you ever been that person, right? Miss self-absorbed, I only matter. I'm probably skirting on that right now, right? So, because I'm just like training in this way and this way and this way. And if I kept doing that, I would lose your attention, right? But in this self-absorbed only I matter. My story, if I'd kept in with the story with Dana, it would have felt like that. Hopefully it didn't. For some of you, it might have if I went too far that way, right? So seven personalities to emulate what you emulate. How many heard something in this, either have seen this before or you might have been this before? And when you have those personalities, you could start not being that or notice soon. It's not that you're going to fall into those, but you could do something different next time. And it's okay when you find yourself doing this. Don't worry about it. I've been every one of those. All right. Just course correct. Seven personalities you might want to emulate. Miss service on any topic. Already taught that. Thomas Tadlock. Got it? He doesn't know. Yeah, look at what he's done. It's making you know his name, right? Being of service. How beautiful is that? So miss service on any topic. Misses listening intently. Have you heard what the person had to say? Karen demonstrated that. I listened to that person and I brought that into what I heard for the next person. Can I actually, people are so little listened to because everybody's so like, blah. It's a standout quality. Somebody's feeling like my daughter did, all bruised up in the room and in a networking room, and everybody's pitching. And I'm saying, wow, you look a little sad today. I've walked in that way and people burst into tears. No? Yeah, my dog just died. Right. We're not networking and shoving cards. I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I don't have a dog, but I know what it is to lose somebody. I'm so sorry. Right? So, Mrs. Listening Intently. Mr. Not So Serious, life is good and funny. That can be good. Like sometimes it's so like counteracted, not Debbie Downer, like she's really bad and then somebody starts cracking jokes. I don't mean that, right? But somebody that's fun to be around, somebody that can tap into the joy of life. We can't do that if we aren't that, if these aren't personalities to become or pretend. Can I tap into that side of myself? So sometimes I send my students on an artist date. You know, like it, like go out and this is from Julia Cameron, The Artist's Way. Go out and have fun just for yourself. Why? Because we're cultivating that in ourselves. It's who we're becoming, not putting on a personality of let me learn the top 10 jokes, right? Mr. Truthful, confidential. I guess I was just that as I'm telling you about my daughter. And some of you might have been turned off. Some of you might go like, man, she's actually real because I'm telling you what's real and I arrived late and I'm sorry, right? But this is what's really happening. And I contemplated not telling you, but I just can't do that, right? So Misempathetic and relational. You've probably seen that somewhere in me, right? Misempathetic and relational. And I'm watching Sergio yawn. I'm going to finish this up real quick because it's hard just when you're just teaching. There's like, here's a whole bunch. It's hard to pay attention, but we'll go into these. We'll make them more, we won't spend a lot of time on these. I think you get it. But if there's any questions about them, and we'll make sure to see, well, then what are the words that, if these are what we don't want, and these are what we do want, how do we even find those words, right? And we won't spend a lot of time on networking. We're going to move over. I think it's speaking next. All right, we're going to over to how do we start to get in a different place. This is, I'll actually name the elephant in the room. What's real? Maybe there was a really, really bad speaker and nobody's talking about it and everybody's pretending that it was really good and everybody bought it, but everybody's regretting it or whatever it is, right? I'm going like, can you feel just something's off in this room? People appreciate that. Calling what is real, right? Like maybe y'all want to go now and I'm calling that, right? So it's real. Because time. Mrs., I'll give you my work now for free, but only when you've asked for it. I sat there with, I told you about Shelly. Your name is Shelly. Remember that from last time? That was my whole pitch. I love that name. That's my man's name. And then she was going to hire a copywriter, and I just sat with her and helped her because I knew that she was going to hire the wrong copywriter and it wasn't going to go well. And I just gave her stuff for free. It's in my court because I just wanted to help. I didn't have some ulterior motive. I just was there in service. At the end of that conversation, it was kind of natural. It's like, hey, do you want to take this further? But I wasn't thinking about that at the time. I'm just in service. It happens to be my area. Now it's about plumbing. Now it's about whatever, right? So 7-10 networking personalities to avoid, 7 personalities to emulate. We learned so much about networking this time. Let's do some really rapid fire ahas. And I did it again. I'm so sorry. I said I'd leave time for questions. So you're a trooper, Sergio. Yes, that's right. It's the middle of the night for you. No wonder you're yawning. Thank you, Karen. And that's empathy. And see, now Sergio just came alive, right? That's that second step of empathy. And now Sergio and Karen could talk where I'm missing it. He's yawning. Of course he's yawning. It's the middle of the night for him, right? So one aha, one inspired action. Then I'm going to stay here for questions after. That's in order to fulfill my promise. I'm sorry it came late. Please post your questions beforehand. It helps me address your questions better. I hope this content has been useful to you. One aha, one inspired action. We'll start in the top left corner. Grace. And then I'm going to go across my screen like this so we can move quickly. So Grace, go ahead. One aha, one inspired action. And if you have to go at any time, of course I honor that. It's no problem. I'll see you next time. Grace.
It goes back to being of service and two things. Be of service. Be mindful of the character.
Thank you.
I'm heading out into a network, an e-women network that starts in 30 minutes. So I'm going to get a chance to practice and play, experiment.
Yes. How does that feel compared to before, right? Changes the whole attitude of it. Fantastic. And then what's your inspired? Oh, you already said your inspired action. You're going to go experiment, right? One doable, check-offable action. Thank you so much. Judy. Judy, you're muted.
The aha is this concept of cultivating who you are becoming.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for hearing that. I ran it by you real quick.
Yeah.
Who's walking into the room? Who am I being? And all of your amazing people. And can I land on those qualities and make them, allow them to grow? And that's what I bring into the room. It's such simple stuff that we miss it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And your inspired action?
I think my inspired action is going to be a strategy session to invite somebody that I wasn't going to reach out to. But it just sitting in this saddle with you and just hearing you share your unconscious competence is, you know, inspiring me to just go do the same.
Thank you. And then when she's approaching somebody to have a strategy session conversation, when you're doing that, all these things kick into play. Fantastic. Everything that we've learned here. Fantastic. Yes. Marie, one aha, one inspired action.
Well, my aha is around how I can play with noticing the person in front of me and make adjustments and be playful about it. I love that.
Yes, thank you for hearing that. And yeah. What inspired action?
I'm just Yeah, I have a number of events this week where I'll be in groups, so I'm going to put this into practice. I'm going to play.
Fantastic.
Just being in front of people and noticing.
Yes, yes, and yes. Good. Beautiful. Marla.
I think my takeaway was the being a little more aware of the people I'm talking to and adjusting better. And my inspired action is to try it.
Yes. Be aware and adjust. And again, a reinforcement of why I started Shavasana, because I can notice the what's happening in my own mind. If I can't see what's happening in my own mind, moment to moment to moment, how am I going to know what's happening in that person's mind? The thing that they're not actually saying, how can I be of service when maybe they're talking about their cat, but it's their dog that's just died. But if I know what's happening in my mind, then I can see what's happening in their mind. And then I can actually do the Thomas Tadlock thing, right? Yes. Aware, adjust, try, good. Karen. Beautiful, Marla. Thank you.
I am already Thomas Tadlock. This is what I love, is that I already am such a networker anyway. You know I'm going out, not even among horse people, I always wear something with horses on it, earrings, a necklace, something, so that it might morph into somebody asking me, so that I can say, I teach people to teach their own horses, so that I can tell them what I do. But, you know, I was born to serve and to help people and to give them the steps that they need in whatever capacity, whether it's getting something off of a top shelf at a grocery store, or whether it's helping somebody with a challenge that they have with their horse. So that it doesn't seem like much of an aha, but it is, in that I already know that I'm networking. I just need to refine it. I just need to have the words now to be able to go more into my genre of people that I help. So that's my aha and my inspired.
Oh, just before you say your inspired action too, okay. You reminded me there's another piece that it's a quick piece, but that I'm going to teach you about networking. It's like, well, how do I do it? Then what are the steps of networking? I know what to avoid. I know what to do, but what are the steps? And I'm going to tell you the one piece, and I'll finish that off really quickly next time as we move into the next genre, the next kind of speaking, or the next kind of word place, right? But connection first. Can I connect with that person? How am I going to make my offer if I can't connect? So go out and see how do you connect? How do you connect? And there's more steps. I'll talk to you about them next time, all right? Marie, can you just say, give the steps of networking next time quickly? You can send me that note. Bless you, Marie. Thank you. And Karen, your inspired action.
I had already started a list of a winter session question and answers that I wanted to do in my study group, my horse study group. So I'm going to get that on the schedule. I'm going to get it on the calendar.
Fantastic. Check offable, do, and all those places. They're all places where we use words. You can start using what we've been learning in every other situation. You get that, right? I'm talking about networking, but it's going to apply everywhere. And I'll show you, I'll cross the T's and dot the I's on the applying. But right away, all this is immediately applicable in every other place. I need to teach you a little bit about genre, but everything. Connection first on your website too. And what is that person thinking in the moment? And all this applies, right? Fantastic. Thank you. Sergio.
Connecting with people. So I was attending a workshop last week and I was just observing the trainer, how she's feeling, how she's relating with everybody and so on. And I was networking with everybody there. And also, instead of having to get it perfect, since I haven't got a website, I started going to, since I go to the beach each night and morning, I started taking videos and just posting those up. And that's
Let it be simple. Let it be direct. Yes, beautiful. Observing. And you'll start seeing when you're watching a speaker, if they're skillful, you'll be seeing some of the things we're talking about here, right? Has to be there. I don't know how to not do it this way, right? Maybe if somebody else knows how, but I don't know how. Fantastic. What's your inspired action, Sergio?
Oh, I'm on another workshop this week, and I'm just observing the people and serving them to see what they need.
Yes. So many people are jumping in. There's no pause to observe, and then nothing can move forward, and it's the same thing over and over and over again, right? Beautiful. Yes. Observe. See. Course correct. Caroline. Oh, goodness.
You got it right.
Okay. Thank you. Caroline.
Yeah. Kind of like Karen, I feel like I'm a natural networker. I'm always putting people together. You know, if I hear that somebody needs something, but I just moved to a new area. And so I feel like I'm in a little bit of a bubble right now. And I don't know very many people. So I think the piece that jumped out, you know, is to start thinking of more in service on any topic. The whole Thomas Tadlock piece of, yeah. And then home inspired action would be, you know, you said you're staying for questions. I could either ask my question now, or I could, if it's my inspired action, is to formulate the question in a way that I, you know, that makes sense.
And we'll stay for that. We'll finish everybody else's ahas, because you can learn from what everybody's picking up different pieces, and they're all important. So it's so great. And it also lets me hear what you're hearing. So I'm doing all these things that I'm saying as I'm teaching, right? I want to know what you've heard. So what pieces are being heard? What pieces are not being heard that I think are important that I want to stress more? Because that's on me. If you didn't hear them, it's on me, right? As trainer. And what are the pieces that you're most interested in? I might want to expand on those too. So listening, right? Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Is it Laura? Did I remember right? Because you don't come up as Laura on the screen. Thank you, Laura.
There we go. I'll have to change that.
Yeah, that would help me. But I was like, Laura. I know it's Laura. Okay.
It is Laura.
You're on action.
So my aha was you modeling, asking if people resonate as you were sharing story. Because I, especially in the last couple weeks, talking about story and thinking about story, I realized I use story a lot. I like Karen and Caroline. I'm a horse person. So I teach people as I'm riding or as they're riding. But I want to be more intentional about asking if they're resonating with the stories so that I can switch gears if they aren't.
Yes.
If that's not what they're connecting with, then I need to find something different as I'm teaching so that I can find the story that they do connect with, which will allow them to learn.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. Again, it's usually right here. It's so close that we can't see it. And then when we see it, it's like, ow, and the words start to land so much better. Yes, yes, and yes. And your inspired action.
Just to be
do that
about asking them, is this connecting with you or not?
Yeah, so the aha and the action were connected. Got it. Beautiful. Thank you. Cheryl, you're up next. If you're in a place where I can't always tell if your video isn't on, so if you could speak.
I know, Cheryl. And I'm so sorry. I'm at somewhere where I'm going to need to definitely listen to the replay because I've been in and out, but I didn't want to miss because I always get nuggets. So my aha is that I'm realizing I obviously don't do enough networking, and my inspired action is to do so.
Yeah, do some networking, because if I want to know what's on the website, who am I talking to? And it could be in a networking room. It can be talking to one person who is probably maybe your ideal client over pizza, even, you know, just like, how am I connecting with real alive people that I can actually see and practice with, so that those words that end up on my website are going to be completely different and so much more meaningful. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Erin, one aha, one inspired action, if you're able to speak.
Yes, I can speak. I hope I'm coming through clearly. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
My aha is always like, it's just such a great reminder to be of service, provided that the person wants the support and your service, should it be. So really being in service is listening for me and then seeing how I can help them. And then if they want help. And then my inspired action is to practice that as much as I possibly can tonight, by really listening and being as present as I possibly can during our eWomen Network holiday extravaganza here in Victoria.
Fantastic. Really great. Love to see all of you putting it on the court, going out there, seeing what it is. And I can teach you so much more, and we can learn so much more together as you're out there on the court doing these things. So fantastic. Thank you. I know you all are. I think it's Sherry, right? Are you 329? If your number ends in 329, it's your turn. Okay. might be somebody who cannot speak. So go ahead and you can always send me an email of your aha too, right? And I'm not sure even what we've got in the Story Freedom Academy, if there's places for those ahas or not, but you can send it to me and I can weave it into the next class if there's something you want to share with everybody. So thank you so much for being here. I'm going to close the official part of our call and maybe everyone will leave and I will then go into questions. I said I'd stay till 1:45. I'm going to stay till my problem sometimes is punching a clock. I'm not very good at it. I'll do my best to because I really want to honor your time, but also I want to make sure that I've fulfilled my promises. So I'll stay up until the hour if there are any questions, and then please post them in advance. When you do, I can weave them through the material and take time to think about them beforehand. And questions are always welcome in any possible way. So thanks everyone for being here. If you need to leave now, thanks for being here. And we're moving into questions. Karen.
Michelle, I typed this in the chat box. I think you said our next meeting is the 18th of December, and it was going to be on speaking. If you can give me a little better idea, it probably will help be able to formulate questions a little better if we have an idea, like this time we knew was networking.
Right, right. Let me see. That's a really good question. And that's about the construction of the order of this. Give me one second to think about this. I think that what I want to do is have you asking questions anywhere from your company about what's most important to you. Don't worry about tying it to the material for that day. I will weave it into the material for that day. And because of the way that I've constructed this course and listening to you, it's only the second time I've taught it. And that's something that, again, if my daughter were not sick, I would have had a little more time to cross the T's and dot the I's. But I want to do it in the way that the order will land most easily in for you. So I don't want to hinge it to the course material. I'm listening to you. I'm going to go back to your questions, and I might shift the order around a little bit. So instead, look to where you have the most, what's your most important question for you to be able to take your next step? Because it might be that we're talking about networking, but you have a pressing question about your website right now. I can handle that question, and I will tie it in because then I'll be able to show you. We're talking about speaking next time. I'm not even going to I'm not promising the order of things. I am promising moving from close into far away. But so we'll talk about, website and online further toward the end. But if you have a website question, for instance, I will be able to backtrack it and show you how it's connected with what we're learning in networking, show you how it's connected with what we're learning with speaking. So I want you to ask your very real questions about the thing that's on your mind, of where you want to use the words and where in your company it feels like it's slowing down, whether it's networking or you've got a talk coming up next week, or you're just, sending something to the copywriter and you need words over there, or you're talking to your team and you're having trouble with a team member and you don't know. So I want you to be thinking about your company. Where do you most need the words? And I will weave it in. So does that give you a way to ask the question, Karen? Is that better? And notice like I'm checking in with her too. And remember, this is another example, but you don't have to have all the answers. I could just decide right now and make sure that it goes in that order, because that way she would know that question to ask and we could make sure it works. But I'm not even doing this in teaching. This is only the second time I've taught it. I'm learning so much about how to teach this as I'm teaching it too, so it will land the best. So I'm doing the very same thing that I'm telling you to do when you're networking, right? So thank you for that, Karen. Other questions? And thanks, Aaron. Thanks for being here. Yeah, any other questions? I will stay till even if all but one of you go. So, I thought you were waving goodbye, Caroline. I saw your hand. I thought you were waving. You don't have to always get it right, Caroline?
I'd like to ask the question, because if I wait till next week, the event might have already happened.
Yes.
And I won't have, so it's something I have wanted to ask since the beginning of the class. Yep. So maybe you answered it and I didn't, I just want more clarity, but when, mm-hmm. The situation is I have a small group of writers in this community that listen to something recently called Listening to the Horse, that was this program that Karen Rolfe was on, and there was an Alexander Technique teacher on there, and I have told a lot of people in the community that I'm an Alexander Technique teacher. I'm also a centered writing instructor, and so my homework in my Karen class is to come up with an explanation of what I do that doesn't use centered writing or Alexander technique, because that limits me to being one or the other of those things. And I really feel like what I offer is much bigger than that and much different than that.
Great question.
The question is, these people want me to come and do a talk about what I do to their group, to the local group. She said, can you come and do an Alexander technique talk? Because they heard, you know, that Alexander technique was very helpful in their writing. And I don't, yes, I'm an Alexander technique teacher, and yes, I could give that talk. But what I'm trying to shift in my life is that I call my business the Harmonious Horse and Rider, and it's really more about relationship. So yes, that's a part of it. So how do I get them from wanting to ask, what do I do, to turn it around to ask, what do they need? That's my question, my long-winded question. How do I find out what they need?
So the very first thing, just like when I'm networking, I need to know what that person is really wanting and saying.
Yes.
In me answering your question, I need to know that from you too, right? So I want to make sure that I've understood and listened, right? So I'm highlighting some of the things that I'm using here in answering that question, right? So I need to listen carefully. And in that, so I want to ask you another question. So I want to ask you a question to make sure I've understood. They are, you met a group of people. They want you to come in and talk about the Alexander technique, but it's not really the way that you're putting yourself out there. And it's not the way Karen has suggested you put yourself out there. Is that the dilemma? And so you don't want to highlight that, but they've asked you for that. So what do you, how do you write your talk, or what should be in your talk? Is that the correct question? Did I hear or did I not? Okay.
Maybe just a teeny bit of clarity. Alexander technique is one of the applications, one of the things I use to get people where I want them, but it's not the whole picture.
Got it.
So I think, you know, how do I find out what they need so that I can bring the whole picture in? Like, how can I shift it to find out what they need rather than me start talking about what I want in a really practical sense?
Right. You ask them. Remember that I sent you guys a survey. I want to know what you guys want and need. And I'm going to be reviewing those as we do the course over and over and making sure that I'm addressing your questions. So is there, first, you know, is there a way to survey that audience? And I always, whenever I'm speaking, whenever I can, I'm speaking with the one who's invited me beforehand. I get on a call. And sometimes we get, bye Marie, thanks so much. Sometimes we get afraid to do that because we feel like we're bothering them or we're taking their time or something like that. But hosts, like when I did Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs the first time, so it's a series where I'm the host and other speakers are coming in. And one of my speakers, she said, Michelle, I will come and speak for you on one, you know, condition, that we get on a call beforehand so that I can really deeply serve you and your people. Every host wants to hear that. I'm like, great. I got on the call with her and it helped me refine that. So I would get on a call with that person and find out who's, like, ask questions about who's there. Just the same way that we heard from Karen as she's finding out more and more about those people, or how Thomas Tadlock is asking, what do they need? You know, find out from that host, what do they really need? And there you engage your listening skills. What are your people like? What do they bump into? Is it somewhere where you can ask the host?
No, this is a really informal little, it's my neighbor. And she said, I want to know. And maybe what if I got a little group together? How many people would you want? And you know, maybe we could have a little potluck and you could talk about what you do. So it's very informal. And I don't think if I asked her what they needed, she doesn't even know who's going to be interested in coming at this point. So,
right. Well, that, I still would have that conversation hands down. You're right. She's going to go, I don't know. But then that's your skill in asking questions. And if you want to know how to ask empowering questions, you know, or more skill about asking questions, you can ask a follow-up question next time. That's a great way to learn, right? Keep asking follow-up questions. But she might go, I don't know. And so then it's a combination of you teaching her a bit more about what you do and her pulling in the right people for you, because it would be really nice if some of those people could be somehow connected to your ideal audience. And if not, you're just in there serving, right? But I would be asking her questions like, hey, I'm so glad. First, I would, you know, let her know that I really appreciate that. I'm so glad that you want to pull people. Here's what I'd be saying. Something like this. I'm so glad that you want to pull some people together to do this because I love what I do. I love you forever, and but we don't always talk about this thing that I do. So what is it that you see in what I do that you're interested in? What do you think your people would be interested in? I don't know. I don't even know who to invite. Well, who are you thinking of inviting? What made you think of asking me? How do you think it's going to help them? Like, talk to, you know, give me one example. Like, who's the first person you're thinking about inviting? So you could pull it out of her even if she can't get it. Right? This is a crucial skill, by the way, for sales calls, right? Or all kinds of speaking situations where you need to pull it out of them, right? So I would be asking, well, who's the first person you're thinking of inviting? Oh, how come? What do you think we have in common? Or what is it that you hear? So you're starting to hear the angle and you're starting to hear what the pain could be, right? It's like, well, I don't know. I have a friend and she really likes, I'm just making this stuff up, but I have a friend and she really likes horses and she's wanted to get into working with horses for a long time. And I just thought she should meet you. You're so gentle and kind and you work with people in ways that open things up. I don't know. She, you know, then she starts to, you ask for a real person. She starts talking about who she's going to bring to the audience and it will start, you can start to guide a little bit who she's going to bring into that audience to have more people who are closer to your ideal audience in the room. It's still a Thomas Tadlock thing. It's still a, you know, how can I serve? How can I serve? And it is a little bit of back and forth of, yes, she is going to answer. I have no idea, but it's going to be a little bit of training along with a little bit of questioning, just the very same way that I'm pulling out of you what you need, right? So that I can answer better. You're going to do that with her. Is that more helpful? Does that make sense as a first step?
Yeah, she saw someone on the video, so I think she's expecting me to do what they do, but yeah, so I'll, yeah.
Right. And there that hear your editor, that voice inside that's not helpful. She's going to expect that, but I'm this, oh no, what can I do? And then you can't get there from there. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. But not to be afraid to go toward the thing that we fear. I call that, like, in larger parts of my community, you know, headed right toward the lion's roar, right? There's a whole training on that. But for the purposes of today, just like a quick dive. I know that you saw this. What was it that you saw in that you love?
There,
I love this and this and that and that. That's really cool. I do some things like that because I do that and that and that. There's some other things that I do too that's a little different from that. Tell me, who is it that you think you're? So adding complexity. It's like a time-lapse photo of a flower, right? So the flower's all closed and we can't see its details and we open it up and open it up and open it up. We can see more of the details. So then I have a better sense of how I'm walking into it. And at the very same time, I'm also shaping the discussion. So she's going to have, I'm shaping her expectations, but I'm doing so by virtue of asking questions and by clarifying what it is that I do. But that's very different from coming in going, well, I know you saw this and I'm not like that. Here's what I do, blah.
Well, I all those promise things, I wouldn't do that.
I know you wouldn't do that. But then we don't know what else to do because that's how we're taught, right? So all the things that we learn networking, it applies right here and such a beautiful illustration of everything we've been learning here. So thank you for that question. So come in with those questions, come in service to her people and come in service. You're in service to her when you're helping shape who she's bringing into the room. Because if she brings in, I don't know, the haters club of America who all want to do terrible things to animals. I'm sorry, that's the example that came up in my head. So I'm saying it, but it's graphic and you'll remember. I know she's not that, but I'm giving the extreme example so you'll remember. Then you'll say, well, I know you have some friends over in the Haters Club of America, and I'm so glad that you have that broad heart that you can embrace everyone. However, I know that you know this other person too who, and I'm giving extreme examples, right? Didn't you say something about, or, you know, and but not imposing on her. That's manipulation, right? Not going like, you've got the wrong friends. It's nothing like that. That it's like, oh, who were you thinking of inviting? Oh, and then drawing out the things that you love, you know? Wow, I'm so glad you're thinking about bringing in that animal love, you know, animal rights activist something or whatever, I don't know, because that so resonates with this part of my message about such and such. Who else are you bringing in? And then you're shaping the audience, you're shaping her expectations, you're connecting it with what she's already seen, so honoring what she's already said. And this is about, this is a good illustration of genre, that what kind of situation am I walking into? And I can also, it's giving that higher level teaching too. I can shape, sometimes I can shape what I'm walking into. I always can shape what I'm walking into. Let me revise that. And I might not always shape the number of people that, you know, but in this case, you can even shape the number of people, who's in the room, what their expectations are, and you're also listening to the what she's saying. So you can maybe they're you've got five pieces of content, but the piece that's really going to ring their bells is piece number one. And you've done that by asking questions. And so you're going to lean a little more into piece number one, but you're also not going to reinvent the wheel and always be doing different talks to everybody. Have some core teachings so that otherwise you're going to run out of time and it gets really tiring. At first, if you do that a little bit, it's not the end of the world, but I would really recommend know what your message is. How are you going to know that? By interacting with people, right, who are also telling you, knowing your message, hearing what they say, and it's in the intersection of that that it comes up. I've done a 12-hour training on that. That's the 10-second version. Okay.
Thank you.
Helpful?
Very, yes.
Thank you. I said I would go until the hour. Were there any burning questions out there? We went a deep dive into a couple of questions. Any other burning questions out there that you would really like answered? Like you've got something coming up that it can't wait for next week. I'm really here in service. I'm learning what your questions are myself too, right? What do you want to know most about? And I can then teach better. I can help you better. Anything else burning to be asked? All right. So that means that there's nothing pressing. You don't have a talk tomorrow that you really need help with. And so it fell through for you. And so we'll please make sure to post your questions for next time. Thank you so much for being here. Go out and play with those, that networking once again. Like Karen did, thank you, Karen, for that fabulous illustration of how we network well. And sorry for keeping you for so long. And thank you for staying so long so that I can serve you the best that I know how to do. So I will see you all here next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye for now.